Turn with me, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I've been thinking about this one verse of Scripture for a long time, really the last few months. I thought about it very heavily last week, and then one of the brethren read from this chapter in my study Wednesday night. And I want us to look at this for our Bible study this morning. I feel led for us to declare this morning. I consider this a message or a Bible study for preachers who need to know what to preach. I have wondered that so often. What do I preach? Especially whenever I first was called on to preach. What do I preach? You know, before a man stands up and preaches, he ought to really assess, what do I preach? So I consider this a message for preachers who need to know what to preach, and I also consider this a message for hearers who need to know what to hear. There's something we need to hear. There's something we don't need to hear. Verse 1, 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. This is what Paul charges Timothy as Timothy takes over, pastor of Ephesus. He said in verse 2, preach the word. Preach the word. A man who is very dear to many of us. A man who is an elder pastor to many of us. Somebody I esteem very highly for the work's sake. He told me time and time again, preach the word. I remember one time he got his Bible out, and his was laid out like mine, and he touched it right there. He said, you see that? Preach the word. And then he drug his finger down it just like that. Whatever it says, preach the word. That was a big light bulb moment for me. Okay, now what do we do with this word? And how do we twist this word and go about this word to make this word say what we're trying to say? Whatever it says, preach the word. That's a biggie. Preach the word. If men would do that, we'd have no problems. Preach the word. We are not trying to preach a doctrine. That could be a shocking statement to Calvinists. We are not trying to preach a doctrine. We have not selected a doctrine that we like better than all the other doctrines. And now, you know, we've sided with this doctrine. This is the one we're going to go with. And we're going to spend the rest of our days trying to convince not only ourselves, but everybody else of this doctrine. That's not what we're doing. That's not what we're doing. We, by God's grace, are going to preach the word. What we do here is so straightforward and clear and simple. So simple. We preach the word, whatever it says. God's word is our doctrine. It is our doctrine. We are not going to throw out one of God's words because we don't believe it fits into the doctrine that we've convinced our minds of. You know, well, I don't care much for that verse. That's no. God's word is our doctrine. It is our doctrine. As he has declared it to be in the context he's declared it to be in. By God's grace, we're going to verse 2 says, preach the word, be instant. That means stayed upon, fervent. Doesn't matter if it's in season or out of season. It doesn't matter if it's popular and everybody loves Spurgeon at the moment or nobody loves it. We're going to preach it in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Doctrine means words. It means teaching. It means instruction. We're going to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with longsuffering. That means patience. With patience and with the word itself, with the teaching of the word itself. You know, we don't have to go around rebuking each other. You know that? We don't have to go around rebuking each other. God's word will do that. All we have to do is preach the word. Just preach the word. Now, I want us to look at three things in this. Number one, I want us to look at the warning against not preaching the word. Verse 3 right here says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." Itching means tickling. They will heap to themselves. They'll pile up teachers who will tickle their ears. Tell them what they want to hear. They'll love that. Verse 4 says, "And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables." They'll be turned to lies. We need to be warned of the great danger of not preaching this word and not hearing this word. When I first came here and I first started preaching, I thought I'm a little too heavy in turning. I turn more than anybody. I wear people out on turning. The longer I go, I'm almost 5 years in to pastoring this church. I want to turn twice as much as I did when I first got here. And the reason is because every wind of doctrine is out there. People have heard it from a child. They've grown up. They're indoctrinated in lies, in something. Religion is so full of lies. Religion is so wrong. It's so phony. We are not in religion, are we? We're in the Word. And the only way to open men's eyes to God's Word is to get in the Word. Preach the Word. Preach the Word. Turn, turn, turn. Preach the Word. So we need to be warned. We must preach this Word and we must hear this Word. Our Lord said, "Take heed what you hear." Take heed. Don't turn, but in 1 John 4, verse 1 says, "Try the spirits," that means preachers, "whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Every preacher that I come across is on trial with me. I cannot accept him. He's a preacher. "Hey, brother, great." No, sir. Every preacher's on trial with me. Until I find out, do you preach this word? Try the spirits, whether they have got many false prophets. Almost all the preachers in the world are false prophets. Almost all the preachers in the world are false prophets. Is that too big a statement to make? Almost all the preachers in the world are false prophets. Whole countries are full of false prophets. Can you imagine that? How do we try the false prophets? By the word. Turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah 23. Jeremiah 23, verse 1 says, "Woe be unto the pastors." Buddy, that's a serious statement to me. "Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord." You think about it. God's people, generally, some young people have the privilege of growing up under the truth. We got some kids in this nursery, and I pray the Lord will bless the fact that they, by God's grace, might grow up under the truth. But most everybody is pulled out of religion. They're under these false preachers who are telling them lies and running them here and running them there, and they're trying this and they're trying that. And that's what he's saying. Those are my people. They're my sheep. I haven't called them out yet, but you're running them all. You're scattering them all over the place. Woe be unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Look with me at verse 16. Jeremiah 23:16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They make you vain. How can we identify a message of these ear-tickling preachers who are turning men and women away from the truth? How can we identify that? It's all about you. It's all about you in this way or that way. Whether you know, one man's preaching you got to work your way to heaven, or whether one man doesn't even ever mention heaven or hell. It's all just a social. It's all about you. It's all about how you can become a better person. That's what it's about. That's what the message is about. They stand up and they say, now this, you know, based on the word, this is how God wants you to be. You know, he's told us these things, how he wants you to be. And if you'll start doing this, and if you'll start acting like this, then you're going to be a better person in society. And you're going to be a better husband. And you're going to be a better father. And you're going to be happier in the world. And you're going to be healthier in the world. There's a diet we follow based on the word of God. And it's all about you. Our Lord said, don't listen to them. They'll make you vain. They'll make you vain. The gospel is about Jesus Christ. If we're not talking about Jesus Christ, we're not talking about the gospel. The truth is the danger and the warning of not having him and not being in him. The truth is who he is and what he has done. It's all about Christ. All about Christ. Verse 16 right here in Jeremiah 23 says, thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. And that's so true. They're just making stuff up. This sounds right to me. Verse 17, they say, still unto them that despise me, the Lord hath said. That's what they say. Well, you know, God says. Somebody told me the other day, well, you know, God wants us to be happy. And I wish I would have said, could you show me that? What chapter and verse is that? What book is that in? Happy is he that hath the God of the sinner, Jacob, for his help. Absolutely. But what verse 17 is saying, the Lord hath said, you know, you shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. They stand up and they cry, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Verse 21, I have not sent these prophets. They ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. Verse 25, I've heard what the prophets said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed. Verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? What he's saying is, preach the word. Preach the word. And He said in verse 31, I'm against them. In verse 32, he said, I'm against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. Nobody is going to be saved under their message. Nobody. And what the Lord is saying is, if I don't deliver them out from under that message, they're going to be damned because of that message. So the great warning has gone out to all of us. Preach the word. All right? Now let me give us, here's the second thing. I had three things I wanted to say, and I'm going to speed up. The second thing, I want us to see four reasons to preach the word. All right? Four reasons to preach it. The warning against not preaching, it's very clear. Four reasons to preach it. Number one, God said so. Period. No comment needed. Number two, we preach this word because men and women are actually saved by it. And that's amazing to me. That always encourages me to keep preaching it. Always. Men and women are actually saved. Now, weren't God's people saved from the foundation of the world? Absolutely. God said so in His Word. Well, weren't people actually saved when Christ died on the cross of Calvary? Absolutely. God said so in His Word. Turn with me, if you would, to Romans 1. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, the preaching of Christ, the declaration of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's why we preach this word. That's why we preach this word. We have loved ones. We have people we've never met before. Our heart's desire for men and women is that they might be saved. There is one way sinners are converted from death to life. Blindness to sight. Deafness to hearing. One way. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe." It pleased God by what men consider to be foolishness. It pleased God by the foolish man who stands here, a sinner before other sinners. But this is how it pleased God to save. The declaration of God's word. Our Lord said in Mark 16, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." That's why we preach this word. The third reason to preach it is, I'm going to just quote some of these. Romans 10 tells us, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We need faith. We need it so desperately. We need it so desperately. When the trials come, When sickness comes to us or our family, when the money gets low, when the whatever it is, you know what we need at that moment? More money? No. A healing? No. You know what we need at that moment? Faith. Faith. That's what we need, is faith. How do we get faith? Faith cometh by hearing this word. That's how faith comes. By hearing this word. That goes hand in hand with the fourth reason to preach the word. With the faith comes spiritual growth. With the faith comes spiritual growth. Go ahead and turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 4. First Thessalonians 4, verse 18 says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Comfort one another with these words. All of our comfort is in God's word. That's where our comfort comes from, in God's word. Do we want more comfort? Man, I just wish I had a little more comfort. Well, how do we get it? In God's Word. It's right here in the Word. Don't turn, but 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, this is verses 1 through 3. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and all hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be you've tasted that the Lord is gracious." This is how we grow in grace. Again, don't turn. 1 John 5, verse 13 says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know and that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." Our hope, our assurance comes from this word. It grows. He said, "I've written these things to you that you may know. That you may know that you have eternal life." So we've seen the warning against it. Reasons to preach it. Now, last thing. What are we preaching when we preach the word? What are we preaching when we preach the word? What has God written in this word? What is it all about? What is our subject matter when we preach God's word? In this word, from the first page to the last page, there is one great question asked. And in this word, from the first page to the last page, there is one great answer given. All right? Here's the question. Go ahead and turn with me to Job chapter 9. Job 9, verse 1 says, "Then Job answered and said, I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" That's the question. That is the great question all through this book. I don't care what book in this Bible it is. That's the question of that book. How should man be just with God? He asked that same question again in Job 25. How can a man be justified with God? How can a sinner be justified of God? He said, how can a man be clean who is born of woman? He said, I've looked around. I've seen us. Nobody's fooling me. We're all sinners. They try to be holy rollers, but they're not fooling me. How can a man be clean who is born of a woman? How can a sinner be justified with God? Here's the answer. Here's the great answer of the book. Turn to John 1. John chapter 1. John 1, verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word." The Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Preach the Word. Preach Christ. Preach Christ. How can a sinner be justified with God? Preach Christ. Preach the Word. Preach the glory of the Word. The absolute glory of the Word. What is the glory of the Word? Don't turn. It's printed on the front of our bulletin. Every time we print a bulletin, we see, "I've determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Jesus Christ crucified. That is the glory of this word. That is the amazing glory. We sing Amazing Grace. What is Amazing Grace? Jesus Christ crucified. Amazing grace. That's how a sinner can be justified with God. Jesus Christ crucified. God forbid that we should glory in anything save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. We preach the Word. We preach the Word in the Word. We preach the glory of the Word in the Word. And if we do that, not only will sinners know how a man is justified before God, or a woman is justified before God, not only will sinners know how, if we preach this Word, and if God's Spirit sends faith to believe it, sinners will be justified before God. One of my greatest fears when I started preaching was giving a false hope to men and women by saying, this is what God's Word says, this is the truth, and if you believe this, you're saved. I feared giving men and women a false hope. Well, what if a visitor comes in who's never heard this? And what if God doesn't give them faith to believe it? You know what I finally found out? It is impossible for a man or a woman to believe this Bible if God does not choose to give that man or woman faith to believe it. It's impossible. You don't have to put a fence around Christ crucified. You don't have to put a fence around the glory of God and try to keep people out of it. You declare, this is what God's Word says about us. This is what God's Word says about God. And He said that Christ came to die for a certain particular people that He chose to save. And if God chose them, God will send faith to them and they will believe it. And as soon as they believe it, they're saved. Well, weren't they saved before the foundation of the world? Yes, God's Word said they were. Weren't they saved when Christ died on the cross? Yes, He said they were. You know what else He said? As soon as He gives that faith, boom, in a minute we're going to see by faith. And they say, you know what? I think I believe it. I think I have seen it in the eternal, holy Word of God. And I think I do believe I'm a sinner. And I think I do believe God is holy, and I think He is going to judge this world. And I do see where Christ didn't just die for everybody. He did what He did, and I think He's God. And I don't think He's trying to do anything. I think it's over. I think it's finished. I believe that. You're saved. You're saved. So may God cause us to believe it. All right, you're dismissed.